I appreciate everybody coming to the talk. We have collaborators from the Ag Econ Department, the Agricultural Engineering, and from Agronomy at Purdue University. So we want to acknowledge them. Does it advance with a click?
It has.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you have to do that.
That's fine. Okay, so our objectives with this experiment were to determine the potential biomass yield for alternative double crop systems in north central Indiana. And it was our hypothesis that a winter wheat-based system would be the most flexible, versatile, and productive in this situation. We did restrict our experiment to annual crops, which are already in production in parts of the Midwest. And in this way, we have the technical knowledge and most of the equipment is already on farm, and so it would ease the implementation of such a system into production. So we thought it would be advantageous to maintain a flexibility to responding market fluctuations. So after you've planted your wheat, you do have options for when you would harvest it. We thought that a wheat-based cropping system would be best suited to this profitability and commodity market response. One disclaimer is that to judge the profitability, we collaborated with our AgEcon sort of members, and they do most of their analysis in bushels per acre because that's the market price. So I'll be presenting my data in bushels per acre. So our methodology, we conducted our experiments in 2008, 2009, and 2010 at the Agronomy Center for Research and Education near West Lafayette, Indiana. In 2008, we had 9 double crop systems. These are all crops which were planted into wheat stubble, and they were all no-till planted. In 2009, 2010, we added 5 full season systems which act as a control. They're planted on the same date as those which are planted into wheat. However, they are planted into bare ground, and so we can see what the yield cost is from the allelopathic effects of the wheat stover. So these are our randomized complete blocks of our no-till treatments. We did have the bare ground treatments. We're randomized in with these as well. So we had our winter wheat seeded in the fall, and this gave us 3 options for harvest. First was an early to mid-May harvest, which was green chop, and that would be fresh fed to cattle. Following that, we could plant corn for grain, corn for silage, soybean, and sorghum silage. Sorghum silage is here listed in bold because we only have 2 years of data. Each of these also has a bare ground control. If we had left the winter wheat and we harvested it as silage, that would be into early to mid-June. And we have a variety of second crop options for Indiana. We have corn grain, corn silage, soybean, sorghum grain, sorghum silage, and sweet sorghum silage. Likewise, following a grain harvest, we remove the straw for total biomass yield, and then we could plant soybeans, sorghum silage, and sweet sorghum silage. So in a nutshell, what we were trying to answer is, if I were an Indiana farmer, when would I harvest my wheat? What's my goal use for that wheat? And what do I plant after it? Should I plant a grain crop, a silage crop, or a biomass ethanol feedstock crop? We use specialized equipment, including a Wintersager biomass harvester. This harvester chops and weighs the silage or the biomass prior to sending it off the site on a conveyor belt. In this way, we're able to use the exact same equipment to measure each crop's yield. We also have a modified log splitter here that we use as a silage packer. We make lab scale silos, which we make right in the field. These are able to emulate the large scale insulation that would happen in a silo, however, on a lab scale, and they're easier to replicate and store. The Wintersager harvester chops and weighs the sample, and then we collect it in 5-gallon buckets. We then move it over to the modified log splitter, which then packs it to a uniform density. We then put it into one of these. This is just a heavy-duty compactor bag, a 3-millimeter plastic bag, and we use a shop vac to remove the air. Then we seal it off with a zip tie. We do this 3 times, so we have 3 layers, just in case one of them should break in transport or something like that. We have 3 layers, and we ensile everything in replicate from each plot. And then we keep these silos for 90 days, and then we analyze them for silage quality. When we perform our yield analysis, whether it's for grain, ethanol, or silage, we always harvest the center 5 feet of a 17 by 30 foot plot. So So these are our silage results, and this is as harvested, because that is the data which goes into the economic model, is the silage tonnage as harvested. We did have trouble because these later planted, that C indicates the third planting date, they don't dry down as well as quickly, and so sometimes we didn't achieve quite the 30% dry matter threshold, but we let them go as long as they could before they got snowed on. So here we have the silage corn. The BG indicates that it was bare ground, so that blue column shows the bare ground corn yield at the first planting date. Red is the silage corn at the same planting date, however, that goes into wheat green chop stover. So this is our cost of following wheat. Likewise, as we go to the B treatments, the Bs were the ones that were planted at the middle planting date. This is our wheat biomass yield. We had two wheat lines which were known to be high biomass yielders, and we also had a triticale. Triticale traditionally has higher biomass yield and would still be a useful feedstock for animals. This C treatment is straw harvested after grain removal, so obviously it's quite compromised for biomass. This is our grain yield, and you can see that the bare ground corn in that first column, this is our cost of growing it in wheat, and this is a non-significant difference if you notice. So in that way, you're getting, you almost can think of it as getting the wheat green chop for free on your silage corn yield. So one of the main challenges of this project for the economic side was silage pricing. Silage is usually produced and consumed on farm, and there's not a formal market. So the technique which Julia used to perform this analysis in her master's thesis was to use the net corn grain price times 8, because 8 was the bushels per acre for each ton of silage produced. So this is our economics versus agronomy. So in the economic analysis, the green is your annual net return, and the sort of khaki burlap texture is the total cost per ton of dry matter produced. So as you can see, winter wheat for grain plus sweet sorghum silage was a much more expensive technique to implement, and the winter wheat for silage plus sweet sorghum silage was our most profitable treatment. And this is because sweet sorghum silage was such an abundant biomass yielder compared to the others. However, we have a few troubles with this in Indiana. Sweet sorghum, as you all probably know, as you grow it further north, tends to fall over as it dries. So this is just one picture of my plot, and as you can see, this would not be sustainable on a multiple acre farm. So that's our next sort of layer to this experiment, is we're going to start analyzing the problems between the economics and the agronomy and where they don't agree. We found that all of our silage treatments were high quality silage, and from there we're going to move into doing in vitro dry matter digestibility testing, and we'll be able to present that in forthcoming presentations. So this is my presentation. I'd like to thank NCR SARE Graduate Student Award, the Purdue College of Agriculture Mission Grant, and a Ross Fellowship. So with that, if anyone has any questions. Yes, ma'am.
You did an excellent job, and I would like to recommend the Barnes Graduate Student Competition for you next year.
Well, thank you.
But you have a question? With your quality data on the silage, are you thinking of doing some modeling to actually extrapolate that to how it might work on dairy?
Yes, we are. And we're collaborating with some of the animal science ruminant nutrition professors who are helping us to come up with what would be the most meaningful test for that. We've done just the ANCOM, NDF, ADF, crude protein, lignin analyses, but we're going to go further into that. 2010 data is not available because we haven't harvested all of our treatments. That sweet sorghum still hasn't dried down. So Dr. Ohm, when it snows on Friday, we'll be harvesting snowed on sweet sorghum. But that's a cost, a risk associated with a late planting date in Indiana. Some years, last year, we didn't harvest our last sweet sorghum. It just never dried down. I don't think we harvested till the 5th of December. However, it never got snowed on in that time. So this year, even though we had a much drier fall, the sweet sorghum is still taking a while to dry down. So that'll be another risk.
We had a question here and then back there. And then there.
I'm
I'm just trying to get my head around the reality there. So this is all silage going into dairy, or what do you use it for? And then did you answer the question about bioenergy?
No, we haven't done our bioenergy. We're going to do individual assays for cellulose and lignin and use that ratio for a cellulose-based bioenergy distillation. So we haven't done that analysis yet. We're going to be collaborating with Jeff Olenek at Purdue to get that done. We've still got this data to collect, and then we'll be doing all the bioenergy. So right now we're just looking at the biomass yields, and then as we do the chemical analyses, we'll know which one may be better than another.
So what I was asking is there that much demand for silage? Because there really isn't in Iowa, so I didn't know if you know.
Right. This would be something that would be consumed on farm. There's not a lot of silage, as probably everyone knows, it's too wet to really move around very far. So this would be for one farm producer. If you live next door to a ethanol plant and have dairy cows, this is your project. So.
Question in the back.
Yes, sir.
What were your seed rates and nitrogen rates on your sorghums?
On the sorghums? I don't know that off the top of my head. We did everything as best management practices for Indiana with the sorghums. Dr. Vine, do you know off the top of your head? Because I wouldn't know. I meant to bring my notebook and I didn't, so.
The reason I was asking is we've seen some problems with lodging on our sorghums at high seed rates and high nitrogen rates.
Right. And I've spoken with the gentleman at Mendel Bioenergy, and they said they don't even study sweet sorghum in Indiana because the lodging problems are so bad. So I think that's kind of endemic to the location. Yes, ma'am.
Well, looking at more sustainable system, wouldn't it be, are you going to be looking at grazing compared to the silage? Because, you know, you have all that equipment, and my uncle had a dairy with silage, and that thing breaks down, and it's not fun. You know, so it's just, you know, the less equipment, the better it is.
Right.
So will you do some of that?
No, ma'am, we're not performing any grazing studies at Acre. It's just a combined effect of limitations for research expenses, and also the plots aren't quite big enough.
Another question.
I was going to ask about the grazing also, because two previous speakers found a benefit in grazing in their system. But on your sweet sorghum, the late harvest on that, have you considered swathing that, laying it down with a line so that you can get it at will? And are you not concerned that that late harvest will interfere with the next planting?
Right, those are all problems with this, and that would be a potential solution and something to be studied in the future. However, it wasn't built into this particular experimental design.
Your sorghum may never dry down. We have that problem.
Yeah, last year we just ended up having to harvest it wet and take our losses as it may.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.